Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The River. This is Tom Fuller coming to you from beautiful Portland, Oregon, with my friends and your hosts, authors Maxine Marcellini and Jeannie St. John Taylor. Every Monday, Maxine and Jeannie get together to share what's on their hearts with listeners around the world. They chat with other authors and friends on a wide variety of topics. Some bring a laugh, some cause us to wipe away a tear, but all of them send rivers of blessing into our lives. These shows can be life-changing if our hearts are open and allow the river of God's love to pour into our deepest needs. So, listeners, are you ready? Now's the perfect time for me to stop talking and let the ladies take us on today's exciting journey down the river.
And thank you, listeners, for joining us today. This is Maxine Marcellini. My co-host, Jeannie, is not able to be with us today, so she's not feeling well, so keep her in your prayers, if you wouldn't mind. But we're going to have a great show for you anyway. Today's guest is going to be Poppy Smith. She's an amazing lady who has got a topic that maybe we'd all need to learn a little bit more about feeling we're too human to be like Jesus. In fact, that's the name of her new book, I'm Too Human to Be Like Jesus. And let me tell you a little bit about Poppy. She was born in England to a non-believing family. She grew up there and in Sri Lanka, Singapore, and Kenya. So she's a very international woman. She met her American husband in Nairobi, and they soon moved to the United States. The adjustment to her new marriage and country, combined with loneliness and the loss of all that was familiar, brought her to a crisis with God. The resulting change from anger to acceptance, from fighting God to seeking Him, led her into a lifelong love of Scripture and the one it reveals. She subsequently became a teaching leader in Bible Study Fellowship, a speaker and author of several books, and got her master's in spiritual formation and direction. Her book, Why Can't He Be More Like Me, which encourages women to grow rather than go if they are in difficult marriages, won the Golden Scroll Award in 2012 from the American AWSA. So she's a very well-accomplished author. She also can be counted among a friend of mine, and she's part of a speaking group that comes with Oregon Christian Writers at times. And Poppy is just amazing. I love Poppy. So welcome to the show, Poppy. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. That's wonderful. I'm wondering who you're describing.
The delightful lady that I've come to know over the years.
Well, that's very kind of you.
And maybe you want to fill us in on a little more detail about your background. Is there something I left out that our listeners might want to know today?
Well, I guess I didn't mention I have two children, a son and a daughter, and they have little ones. So I have three little grandchildren, one a grandson who's just coming up to four, and two little girls who are 7 and 8. So that's a delightful part of life. Unfortunately, they don't live in Portland where I live, but do my best to see them as much as I can.
Yeah, it sometimes takes an effort, doesn't it? I just came back from Spain and visiting three of my grandchildren that live in Spain. And so I've got some in the States, but the ones across the ocean are a little harder to connect with.
So yes, that's true.
We count it quite a privilege when it's possible. Poppy, we've got a big subject to cover today, and your book, I'm Too Human to Be Like Jesus, is full of information. I would totally recommend this to our listeners today. And your website, would you give that to our listeners first before we go any further?
Yes, they can get the book from my website and also from Amazon, and it comes as an e-book as well from Amazon. My website is Poppy Smith, PoppySmith, all one word, .com. And they can see the different things I write on, that I speak on, as I'm invited to women's conferences and retreats. Also, I send out a monthly newsletter of spiritual encouragement that's free for anybody to sign up. And then I write some more spiritual encouragement once a week on my blog. So I just love to pass on what God is teaching me and to encourage women, which was behind this book.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit more then about what's behind this book, because you had a spiritual crisis in your own life. What made you feel like you were too human to be anything at all like Jesus? What brought you to that conclusion and that really provoking title?
Well, you know, I came from a non-Christian home, and so I grew up without any knowledge of Scripture. I didn't know the Lord. My mother was hot-tempered. She was very loving and very funny, but she was very uncontrolled with her tongue. And the thing is, we absorb as normal the behavior we were raised with. And so when I became a believer a few years before I got married, and then I came to America after 6 weeks of being married, that's all, and we settled into life here, I found that I had a very strong temper. I would get angry very easily. I would say things that were hurtful. And I basically repeated a lot of my mother's mistakes. And there were various other things. And the Lord just got hold of me one time. I would pray constantly, Lord, change my husband, because I felt if he would just be different, if he would be kinder, more sensitive, more aware of what I needed, and, you know, all those things that we as women go through, then I would be happy. And then I got to the point where I'd become someone I never wanted to be. I just angry, sarcastic, bitter, and thinking I had made a terrible mistake and wondering how I could get out of my marriage. And so I just came to a point by the Holy Spirit's work in me that I just, broke before the Lord and said, make me someone you want me to be, because I hate who I've become. And I'm so grateful for that experience, because otherwise we just go through life fighting our circumstances rather than looking to the Lord to show us how can we change and make those circumstances work.
It's more of a pointing the finger at everyone else and not looking inward then, is what you're saying.
Yes, and sometimes, as in my case, you don't have the maturity, the knowledge, you haven't had the Bible teaching that, you know, that has taught you that. And so it's a work of the Holy Spirit and reading Scripture and being open to that conviction rather than always being defensive, well, it's the other person's fault. I just found that when I finally accepted that I had a lot to do with the state of our marriage and that I wanted God to change me because I wanted to honor him. I wanted to honor the Lord above everything. And, you know, God just works in our lives when we do that, when we're broken over our own sin.
Yeah, and we get to that point of wanting to submit to his will instead of our desires. I can relate to you with that. So what is it that causes the discontent within us? What do we wish we were that we aren't?
Well, I think in the flesh, we wish we had our own way in everything. But, you know, what I wanted was to be a different kind of woman. I just didn't want to be angry and bitter and irritable. I wanted to love Christ. I wanted to be a woman who influenced others for good and for the Lord. And it's a long journey, you know, the change, the sensitivity to hear the Holy Spirit say, you know, your attitude was not right just then, or, you know, your motivation is just very self-centered and, fixed on you. And this can be beyond marriage, of course, beyond relationships.
Oh, yeah.
It can be in everything, in our jobs, in our dreams for a career or success or, you know, at work. It's that core of our old nature. I mean, we were born, you know, in the kingdom of darkness. God has put us in the kingdom of light, but we have to learn new behaviors, and that takes time.
Yeah, and we have to really, like you say, come to the end of wanting our own way. We've got to start submitting to his way in our life. One of the heart cries that you address, I shouldn't say one, but among them, because as I've read through your PDF file of this book, I am amazed with the topics that you're covering, because you've got, how can I be more like you, Lord? Does it matter what I think? You mean I have to change my attitude? How can I stand in life's storms? And can my stumbling blocks become stepping stones? And the more frustrated we are with who we are, I think that, does that mean we're getting closer to the end of trying to work things out ourselves, or do you think we'll just want to keep being frustrated?
No, I think these are all areas where the Holy Spirit wants to work in us, such as, you mean I have to change my attitude? I think that's a work of the Holy Spirit. When we start, instead of just saying, well, that's how I am and you better accept me as I am, when we start listening to the Holy Spirit, maybe pressing on our mind and our heart, you know, that attitude of yours was not reflecting Christ at all. That was so far from how Jesus would respond. And then to have that core desire to be like him. I think, you know, Scripture just holds that up, Romans 8, that we are called to be transformed into the likeness of Christ. And when we've seen who he is, when we value and love what he has done for us, when we recognize the Holy Spirit, his Spirit lives in us, I think the Holy Spirit stirs within us such a longing to be pleasing to him. I don't mean to earn our salvation, but because we love him and we want to bring him joy in who we're becoming.
Yeah, the motivation becomes love, not a list of what I have to do.
Oh, absolutely, and I think that's very important. Yes, because when you love someone, you want to please them. I mean, when you're passionately in love with someone, you want to do everything that makes them happy, and that's how I like to view my relationship with Jesus.
Yeah, and I noticed as you were writing in this book, you talk about being patient, being self-controlled, being considerate. And you've got very practical examples of how to do this. And one of them that gets my attention, because most of us drive cars, blasting horns at other people or being impatient with the pace of the speed that they're going at or feeling cut off. What would you say to people that have to become more patient? Because praying for patience is a very... maybe not so good of a prayer to pray at times, because you're going to get tested on it.
Well, and I think that's where we're going to see whether we're making any progress, though. And I think that's why God allows us, we pray for things, and then lo and behold, we're getting tested on it. But the key is, do I really want it? And why do I want it? Do I want to be more patient because that's how Christ would be? And if so, then I pray, Lord, I want to be like you in these situations where in my flesh I would lose it. I would blow up. I would get mad. And I want to be more like you. I want to not do that. So, Lord, help me be sensitive to when I'm getting irritable, when something might happen. Help me not speak words, perhaps. Help me just keep my mouth just closed. And even in my mind, to just speak calmly to myself. So I think there's many practical steps we can take to become what we feel the Lord wants us to become.
Now, in this book, I'm Too Human to Be Like Jesus, you actually have questions at the end of each chapter that will help people grow towards being more like Jesus. Can you explain to the listeners how that works?
Well, and also throughout each chapter, I have places where I ask questions. So I envision the book being used almost as a journal in a way, or a journey with the Lord. So you read all this, and then there's a question. For instance, how willing are you to let God remake an area in your life? Jot down your answer. Take some moments to talk to God honestly about how you feel and ask him to build spiritual hunger in you. So I'm trying to not just give information, but actually help the reader take some practical steps towards experiencing what we're talking about. So I'm giving sort of ways to bring about what I'm writing about. And these are things, of course, that I've had to go through myself. And so throughout the chapter, there are places where you can stop and think and reflect. But then at the end, there are some more reflection questions, but this can be with friends. It can be in a small group Bible study at church. In fact, a group at my church are planning to use this in the next month or so as a large group. So you can do it on your own. For instance, here's a question. What comes to mind when you think of a super saint? How do you feel when you're around somebody like this? And what do you wish you were? More patient, self-controlled, considerate, kind? What do you wish you weren't and why? So my desire is to stir up a person to think and listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying so they might grow.
Yeah, I like that, Poppy. And the things you have a question in here is, what is it that I wish I were or weren't? And part of that mm-hmm. list of weren'ts, you've got concerned with what others think of me. And I think far too many of us get concerned about that. And maybe don't invite newcomers to our house because you feel maybe they won't like your furniture as well, or they live a little different than you and they've got nicer things. And then so you don't invite.
Yes. I mean, if that's the issue that somebody's dealing with, then that's good to think through. And I mentioned that in the book. You know, what is it you wish you weren't? And there's just many answers to that.
Yeah, and part of this, you've got manipulative. How are you trying to control everything going on? What are you worried about? I think mm-hmm. you're asking some very reflective questions of people, which are going to prompt the growth. And then you've got another area of depression, despair, and self-condemnation and self-pity. So you've also got something that says, does it matter what I think? Why does it matter what I think?
Oh, this is a huge area that can keep us from all God has for us, both the joy that he wants us to have, the confidence in him, as well as the influence and effectiveness on the lives of others. And I speak on this a lot. I have a series called, or a retreat series called, Transform Your Thinking, or Change Your Thinking, Change Your Life. Because what we think really, really makes a difference. For instance, if you think nobody would care to be my friend, you hold back from going to a group activity, for instance. Or if you think God can't love me because I just blew it, you know, you're keeping yourself from knowing the total acceptance, unconditional acceptance and love and grace of God. So there's a lot of things we tell ourselves. I can't do that. I'm not able to do that. And I write about that in my book for women in midlife. I'm too human, not the I too human, but I'm too young to be this old, because I'm saying no. You know, you can limit your life when God has so much for you if you will just say to yourself, I can do all things that God wants me to do. And it takes a lot of regrooving of our minds. When I speak on this, I talk about Moses, I talk about Jeremiah, I talk about Gideon. All three of those initially said to God, I can't do what you want me to do. And I have battled that my whole life. And the Lord, you know, brought to me a long time ago that I need to just say yes to the doors God opens, whether I'm terrified or not. Because otherwise, I'm holding back the work of Christ through me to not only bless me, but bless others. So what
you're bringing up, an interesting point now, because Moses did want to decline the job God had
mm-hmm.
for him.
Mm-hmm. And Jeremiah said, I'm just a child. And, you know, for a long time, I really liked that. And then the Holy Spirit whispered to me, Papa, you can't use that excuse anymore.
And Jonah wanted to run off to Tarshish rather than go do his assignment, too. I mean, humans, it's part of human nature maybe to not to want to do what God has planned for us, or to fear doing it. What holds us back?
I think for many of us it is that way, but then you meet people who are just bold. I mean, they just are not held back by anything. They're ready to try whatever. And more power to them. But I like the fact in Scripture we see the whole gamut of our human personality. And we see people, major leaders that God used, but who initially felt, I can't do that. And that's very encouraging to me and for the women I talk to who feel that way about themselves. But the point is not to stay there. Not to keep stubbornly saying to God, as Moses did for a couple of chapters there, you know, you've got the wrong person. We have got to get to the point where we say, God, I'm terrified. I don't feel I can do it, but with you, I will go through it and say yes, and I'll do my best. That's my philosophy. I say yes to God when he opens doors, and I say, Lord, you know, in myself, I don't feel that, you know, I've got all this stuff that's needed, but I will do my best. And that's all we can do.
Right. I sort of live on that same philosophy because I feel, you know, with Christ in us and we in Christ, it's
right.
like we have the power that we need. But I don't know if all of our listeners understand what it means to be in Christ.
Right, right. Well, I think it's, as you know, I mean, we're talking about the fact that God's Spirit lives in us, that the Spirit of Christ lives in us, and that God is a Trinity, and so we have his power within us. And, you know, just reading John's Gospel, John, you know, 14, 15, 16, we'll learn about the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 is full of the work of the Holy Spirit and so on. So we have a power within us that we can depend on and say, God, I am going to trust you, and I'm going to watch to see how you will work this out. Whereas if we just rely on ourselves, it's, I can't do that, or I'm not capable, or I'll make a fool of myself, or it's all I. It's all very I-centered, as opposed to focusing on Christ and saying, Christ, Lord Jesus, you are able to accomplish through me and in me and make me someone I could never be on my own.
Absolutely true. Now, you've got another part here that where you're asking a question. If Jesus lived his life through me today, so listeners, challenge yourself on this question. In my unique life situation, what would he do differently through me? As a wife, as a single woman, as a working woman, as a mother, as a church attender, in other roles, responsibilities, and if you're a man, just translate into that, into what you're doing. What would Jesus do differently in your life if he were living it through you today? Is that the goal we're trying to get at? What do we need to do to prepare that to happen?
Yeah, I do ask that question. Of course, I have to apply it to myself as we go through life.
Certainly.
But I think too often we don't think about that. What we're thinking about is, what do I want to do next week or next year? What is my next goal? How do I get to the next level? How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I accomplish this? How do I gain that? What are my goals? And so on. Rather than stepping back and saying, you know, Lord, am I living as you want me to live in my circumstances today? And what do you want me to go for? What do you want me to pursue? I mean, Paul talked about pursuing, you know, the goal in Philippians. And his heart was to finish the work, to be faithful to all he was called to do. So we can certainly use that kind of thinking and language. But we have to have a heart at its core that's saying, God, what do you want me to do in your kingdom for your glory, with the gifts, the talents, the opportunities you've given me?
And how do we discipline ourselves to line up with God's will for our lives?
Well, again, discipline is different for different people. Some people are raised where their daily structure was disciplined from the beginning. I often think of my husband, raised on a farm, a dairy farm, where you got up at 5 in the morning, you milked cows whether you felt like it or not, and you did road tractors and you did other things. And then someone like myself, who was not raised in any disciplined way, and so being disciplined can mean being regimented, which isn't necessarily a healthy thing, but some people just have within them, whether it was through training or through their personality or their bent, to do things at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock. They are able to sit there or go there and do that. And then there are others who find it very hard to follow through. They mean well, but they don't really accomplish that much. So when it comes to discipline as a Christian, you know, we go back to, I mean, things are called the spiritual disciplines, prayer, and time with the Lord, and journaling maybe, or fasting, or whatever. But it's submitting yourself, surrendering yourself to something for the good of your soul. or accomplishing a purpose God has brought into your life. And so you do. You cause, your emotions come under your will. And that is good in many cases, because some of us have had to fight that where our emotions rule our will.
That is so true.
Yeah, and that keeps us so often from what God wants us to accomplish. I've often thought, I wonder, in the years I've walked with the Lord and spoken and written, I sometimes wonder, what would I have maybe accomplished, maybe if it was God's will, what would I have accomplished if I had been a more disciplined person in regards to my time and sticking with things instead of going with my emotions that say, oh, I've had enough, I want to go out and, you know, go shopping or go for a walk, or not that those things are bad, but it's just easier not to surrender and submit myself to the discipline of accomplishing something.
So you've got an acrostic that you use the word power
mm-hmm.
to grow, but each of the letters in power stand for something. So we're running a little short on time now. Could you give us an example or an explanation of what each of those letters is going to stand for in a
I will, because this has been an important thing to me, and again, it's something I teach on in Drawing Closer to God, and that is, I see these as the elements of a maturing walk, and the first one is prayer, that we have to have prayer in our lives. The second is obedience, because unless we obey the Lord and what he clearly says to us, we're not going to go anywhere spiritually. The W stands for the Word. This is our guidebook. This is our life coaching manual. This is God's revelation. We need it. We need to read it, think about it, and apply it. The E is examination. This is allowing the Holy Spirit to search us, as David said in his psalm, "Search me, O God." And it's not a morbid thing, but it's holding ourselves up to the Lord and saying, is there anything in me that makes you sad? That's one rendition of it. And then the R is relinquishment. It is saying, Lord, I give this to you. It's not honoring to you. I want to hold on to it, but you matter more to me than this thing in my life. So power, that's the power for spiritual growth.
And would you give just a short version of the story about your mother as she, under the examination piece? You've got excellent examples that you're using here that help people get the point of what you're saying. But seeing what God sees, your mother was helping to deal with the searchlights and, you know, the patrols and all of that during the World War II in Germany. Could you explain a little bit of what was going on there?
Yes, yeah, and I love that illustration because it really helps me too. But I was contrasting someone in Germany who was trying to escape from the Russian side of Berlin into the freer side, and how she had to dodge the searchlights, because if she was caught in them, she would have been shot. But in contrast, my mother was living in London during the Blitz, and she had to take her turn up on the rooftops to watch for searchlights also. Only these searchlights would reveal the enemy bombers coming, and she had to then, along with everybody else, sound the alarm, the air raid siren, so everybody could run to air raid shelters. So in the one case, you wanted to avoid the searchlight, but in the other, you wanted the searchlight to show you where is the enemy coming in your life. And that's what I see that verse, search me, O God, and try me, and know my heart, and show me if there's any wicked way in me. That's the searchlight of the Holy Spirit. And he shows us where the enemy is coming to bring devastation in our life. It might be a sexual temptation. It might be a temptation to lie, to cheat, to do all sorts of things. It might be a temptation to walk away from God. But if the Holy Spirit shows you the enemy is active in your life, he wants to destroy you or harm you, then the Holy Spirit is saying that needs to go, and that's the relinquishment.
Oh, thank you for that explanation, Poppy. That one was so clear and so fabulous. We do need the searchlight of the Holy Spirit in our lives, because no one wants to be under enemy attack. We all mm-hmm. want to be in a safe place with our lives. And yeah. we cannot be there unless we know where the enemy is creeping in. So,
right.
listeners, we've been talking with Poppy Smith today of poppysmith.com. And you can find an awful lot out about her in her blog and get encouraged and find her books. Poppy, is there one more thing you'd like to leave our listeners with today before we have to close the program?
I would just say keep your heart tender towards the Lord. We all, including myself, can get so busy with so many things that the Lord is almost an afterthought. Even if we have devotions regularly and you're disciplined every day, it's still easy to live the rest of our life as if he doesn't exist or as if he's not there. And I think cultivating the awareness of his presence and loving him so that our walk is from the heart, not just from duty.
Amen. We need to follow him with our whole life. Thank
mm-hmm.
you, Poppy, for being our guest today. You've been a delight, and I would recommend your book to anyone interested in growing in Christ. God bless you, and we'll talk next week with a new guest.
Thank you, Maxine. It was delightful. I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Tom Fuller saying thank you for joining us on The River today. I pray blessings have come your way. Please check out our hosts' websites to learn a little more about them. Maxine Marcellini is the author of Rebuilding Families $1 at a Time, Blended Families, and Raising Children in Blended Families. She's a life coach whose website, rebuildingfamilies.net, is full of family helps and resources. Jeannie St. John Taylor is the author and illustrator of more than 25 books for adults as well as children. You'll find her books plus a link to read her newest biblical fiction, City of a Thousand Gods, on her website at jeanniestjohntaylor.com. All our programs are archived for later listening enjoyment. Consider posting a comment after today's show. And please let your friends know about what's happening at the River. Most of all, remember, you are never alone in this river called life. Jesus is with you and only a prayer away.